I'm Martin Lee. I'm the executive chef at Waitrose. Yeah, it's really interesting. Do you know, we've been doing this report for 10 years now, and it always fascinates me every year. It's one of my favorite times of year, understanding the bit of retrospective of how we've eaten this year. And you're quite right, cost of living's had an impact, but there are still other things at play really affecting how people are eating. And we've noticed over the past year that, yes, you know, cost of living has meant that, you know, a third of us are eating more shepherd's pie, macaroni cheese, real cheap kind of comfort foods. But there's something else at play. It's not just cost of living that are turning us towards those. It's the fact that in times of uncertainty, comfort foods play a really, really important part in transporting us to a place that's a bit simpler, a bit more comforting by their name.
You think we saw a lot of that during lockdown, that people maybe going for those comfort foods, you know, just to kind of, you know, take their mind off and give them that comfort they needed to get them through?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, comfort foods played an important role there. And interestingly now, that effect is having effect on other things. So hot sauce and spicy condiments, you know, our taste buds might have got slightly dulled through COVID, and we're craving heat and spice and really interesting flavors to complement our diet. And that leads us into territory such as fermented foods as well, which also has that really unique umami, meaty, savory kind of characteristic to it. But it also has a really important physiological effect, which is gut health. And I think the overarching trend of what we've seen over this last year is actually there's a real connection to how we consume food and the role that diet has on us physiologically.
And do you think, you mentioned, you know, people are looking at their gut health and looking at foods that got protein, immunity, focusing on health. Is this sort of coming out of that lockdown period, you know, made us focus more perhaps on our well-being?
I think that's certainly probably the nucleus of everything that's happened. You know, there was an awful lot of data from the Zoe study throughout COVID, and that's now really informing an app that people are using that means that now via our phones, we are connected to diet and we understand the role that diet has on us individually. You know, we've walked around with, you know, devices on our arms telling us how many steps, but we're now at a moment in time where we can understand the levels of our blood sugars and the effect of what we're consuming has on us. And, you know, that does mean that, you know, the traditional macronutrients such as protein, they're no longer the, you know, the preserve of bodybuilders and gym goers. Actually, we're finding that many more people are choosing to have really high protein diets. And actually, we found that things like high fat, you know, low fat yogurts and cheese and milks are actually falling slightly out of favor to their full fat friends, because people are understanding the role of good fats on their diet as well. So it's really interesting. We're so connected by data now, and that's having a real effect on our food.
And this is really interesting, the rise of technology over the last 10 years and the impact that that's had as well. You know, like you say, we know more about what we're consuming, the effect it's having. So that, yeah, that's obviously going to have that impact, isn't it, on what we buy and what we, you know, put in our trolley.
Yep, absolutely it is. And, you know, because this is our decade of doing this, you know, we've looked at things that have, you know, been big trends over the last 10 years. And it's included, you know, back in 2013, it was Frankenbaking, where we were creating incredible fun combinations of donuts and muffins and croissants and freak shakes, where we were garnishing milkshakes with really incredible things like pretzels and all kinds of weird and wonderful, towards a real shift to mindfulness and the rise of plant-based. And then last year, I mean, everyone got an air fryer, didn't they, in 2022. It's been quite an amazing rise, and I love seeing how food trends shift.
It's amazing. I love the words that come out of it, you know, flexitarian, Frankenbaking. It's just created a whole new language, isn't it?
Yeah, and, you know, it's probably our fault that we're part of that lexicon, but I do like these terms that help, you know, change how we, you know, have you ever heard of the term SWALTY?
I haven't, no. Go on, enlighten me.
Okay, so so SWALTY and SWICY are, you know, two big things for this year. So this is the rise of sweet and salty foods. So think salted caramel, you know, it's been around for a few years, But the new one is Swicy, which is sweet, salty, spicy. So think hot honey glazed pretzels, you know, things like that, where you've got that balance of sweet, spice and salt together. Absolute winner for this year.
You know, a lot of these things, you sort of look at it on paper, or you, someone tells you, like, oh, I'm not sure about that. But then you actually go and try it and you think, yeah, it actually works, don't you? A lot of the time.
Yeah, and I really like that. You know, one of my favorite things at Christmas time, you know, I my favorite dessert, a really simple, great classic tartatan, think sweet apple, caramelled apple, delicious. Serve it with a wedge of aged blue cheese. Ooh. Unbelievable.
You know what? You're making me hungry now. but we're heading towards Christmas and party season, New Year. You've actually seen a rise in low alcohol or no alcohol drinks. So what's behind that?
You wouldn't think it, would you? It's amazing. You know what? You know, one in five people have told us that this year is the first time they've ever tried, you know, these non-alcoholic versions of their favorites. And it's really interesting. And I think, you know, it's not just around, you know, avoiding the hangover. Actually, that's one of the lowest drivers, only 6%. Actually, one in seven saying they're just generally wanting to do it for health reasons, to drink less alcohol. And, you know, going back to the cost of living, actually 25% of people are doing it to save more money. And I think that's really interesting, the driver. But actually, you know, if you think about, certainly in the beers area, the quality and the taste has really, really dramatically improved in that area, which I think is fantastic. And it's enabling people to make really, really good choices. And we're seeing, you know, some incredible uplift in sales, up 23% in that area. It's quite amazing.
Interesting. As we head towards Christmas, people will be reaching for the alcohol free. And if you're a driver as well, you know, there's always been in the past kind of like, oh, you're going to have a pint of Coke or something. But actually, you know, you can have a low alcohol or no alcohol product, then you don't feel like you're missing out on kind of, you know, the celebration, really.
Absolutely. And you still get that amazing variety of drinks to try. And I think, you know, that element of choice is really key in people's choices at the moment.
And we mentioned, you know, meat-free products and flexitarian and things like that. And actually, there's more choice in that area as well. And some of the meat-free products, they're actually, you know, traditionally in the past, maybe they'll be a bit hit and miss. But now, you know, they're really getting it right, getting it spot on, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I say, you know, we are a tech-driven generation. And actually, the technology of producing these types of ingredients or meal have really, really improved, and the flavors are now much more similar to what you'd expect from their animal counterparts. But conversely, we're also seeing, you know, that conscious consumption of meat is really, really important, making sure people are making good choices on the welfare standards of the meat, the provenance of that meat. That's still really important. And, you know, great quality, you know, is a big driver of purchase also.
Absolutely, yeah. It's about getting the balance between, you know, being the right price, but also being the right quality, and also something that tastes good as well. It's that combination. So 2024 around the corner, what do you think are going to be the trends as we head into the new year then? What are we going to see in 2024?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's going to be no dramatic shift. You know, cost of living is still going to be around. We're still going to be really conscious about the what fuels us. And I think that's going to be probably the biggest thing that will not necessarily shift, but will continue growing. And I think, you know, the single person ready meal, where it's designed for me, is going to start increasing, maybe over the next couple of years, because, you know, the larger format potentially might not satisfy a four person household anymore, because we're connected to that diet. We're going to understand more, and actually we might need different things. And I think that's going to be really, really interesting.
Okay. You mentioned ready meals as well. Convenience. You know, we kind of want decent food, but we don't want the sort of the hassle maybe of, you know, putting it all together and cooking it and cooking all these separate meals. So, you know, ready meals are great for that, because it's just stick it in the oven, stick it in the microwave, and, you know, it's done.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, convenience food is, you know, really important for not only for us as a business, but, you know, people understand, you know, we're busy people, we lead busy lives, and actually convenience food is fantastic. And again, you know, the technology in that area is improving all the time. The quality is better and better all the time. But again, I think what's really interesting is that actually some of the really super convenient, such as the ready-made jacket potato, you know, those kind of things are on the decline because people are, you know, through lockdown, we connected with food and cooking again. We understand that actually that's relatively simple and quick to do ourselves anyway. So there is a balance between convenience for convenience sake, but actually great quality convenience meals are really, really important.
Interesting. Really interesting to talk to you, Martin, and, you know, your Christmas dinner and what's going to be on your plate this year, Christmas dinner, then what are you going to be having?
Do you know what? I am very traditional in terms of the variety, but the cooking method, absolutely very different. So I try and do a whole heap of outdoor cooking, and Christmas dinner is no exception. So think barbecued Brussels sprouts with spicy butter, you know, little things that, you know, they look familiar, but they're going to challenge some taste buds at the Christmas dinner table.
Interesting. Expect nothing less of you being in your job, experimenting with foods and things. Brilliant. Well, Merry Christmas, and thank you for telling us all about this today.
Thanks, John. Same to you.